Manny Pacquiao. Siya lang ang may 8 Division World Championship sa kasaysayan ng boxing. Siya lang ang boksingero na nakapanalo ng Lineal Championship Award in 5 different weight classes. Siya din ang unang boksingero na napalanunan ang major world titles in 4 of the 8 glamour divisions. At siya lang ang boksingero to hold world championships across 4 decades. Tunay nga po nakahanga-hanga ang kababayan nating ito. Naalala ko po na nagpapastor pa ako sa Pilipinas, tuwing may laban si Pacquiao, lagi po natatapat na linggo. And since ang dalawa po yung service ng church na nung time na yon, kadalasan po yung first service ay yung punong-puno po ng mga tao. At kapag dating naman sa second service, ay halos wala na po yung tao dahil nagmamadrila at umuwi upang mapanood po yung laban ni Pacquiao. Sa tuwing may laban si Pacquiao, naalala ko po, hinihinto ng mga tao ang kanilang ginagawa para lamang makapanood ng laban niya. Lumuluwag ang traffic, mababa ang crime rate, at halos walang tao sa labas ng bahay. He was considered the Filipino's champion or the people's champion, a hero ng Filipino community. Bilang kababayan niya, we are so proud of him. And our country makes sure to give him a hero's welcome tuwing siya pa'y umuwi galing sa laban. Similarly, 2,000 years ago, there was also another man who was considered a hero ng Jewish community. Of course, his name is Jesus. Kung saan man siya magpunta, hihinto ang mga tao at ang gagawin nila ay susundan siya at pupuntahan siya. Kung saan siya magpunta, nandun po sila. We have seen from the past weeks that he had supernaturally calmed the storms, cast out evil spirits, has supernaturally healed a woman who was bleeding for 12 years, and has raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. And now, he visits his hometown, ang lugar na kung saan siya lumaki, isang lugar na kung saan kilalang kilala po siya. Marahilang lugar na ito, nakarating yung balibalita patungkol kay Jesus, ang kanyang mga katuruan, at lahat ng kahanga-hanga niyang ginawa. Ano kayang naging reaksyon ng mga tao pagdating ni Jesus? Binigyan kaya nila siya ng isang hero's welcome o parangal ng kanyang mga kababayan? At ano naman ang naging reaksyon ni Jesus sa kanila nung siya ay sinalubong o pinakinggan? Yun po ang titingnan po natin sa passage ngayong araw na ito. There is only one word that can describe Jesus' reaction sa kanila. At siya'y namangha. Namangha. Tayo po'y nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series on the Gospel according to Mark. It is my prayer for us today as we look into this text that we would be compelled to persevere in proclaiming the good news of Jesus even to those who are hostile to it. Followers of Jesus are called to proclaim the gospel to everyone and to entrust the results to God. Followers of Jesus are called to proclaim the gospel to everyone and to entrust the results to God. We have divided this passage with three headings. Unang una, doubtful people, verses 1 to 3. Pangalawa, dishonored prophet, verses 4 hanggang verses 6a. And number 3, Disciples Practicum, second half ng verse 6 hanggang 30. Let's go to number 1, Doubtful People. Basahin po natin yung verses 1 to verse 1. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. After Jesus raised Jairus' daughter sa dead, umalis na siya ng Capernaum at dumiretso na po sa hometown niya sa Nazareth. We know that Nazareth is his hometown dahil nabanggit po ito ni Mark sa chapter 1 verse 9. And at the same time, nabanggit din niya sa the same chapter, chapter 1 verse 24, when he was addressed by the demons or the demon-possessed man as Jesus of Nazareth. Kaya doon po natin nalaman na ang hometown niya ay Nazareth. Notice also na sinama niya ang kanyang mga disciples sa hometown niya. Now, this was intentional. Remember that disciples had witnessed kung paano mag-minister si Jesus Christ. They have seen him preach great sermons, calmed great storms. He has exercised authority over demons, diseases, and death. And so far, so good. Jesus' ministry is a success as far as results are concerned. But Jesus also wanted to teach His disciples an important part po ng gospel ministry. And that is rejection. Yes, rejection. And so He brought them to Nazareth. He returned as a Jewish rabbi or a teacher na kung saan napapaligiran o sinusundan ng kanyang mga estudyante. At kadalasan kapag may visiting rabbi, ang nakagawian ay sa Jewish custom ay iniimbita po ito mangaral sa kanilang synagogue. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 2. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue and many who heard him were astonished. We were not told kung ano ba talaga yung tinuro ni Jesus Christ. Probably he taught from the Old Testament. He opened a scroll, read a passage in the Old Testament, expounded the law and the prophets, kagaya ng ginawa po sa Luke chapter 4. His teaching is always to proclaim the gospel of God and calls people to repent and believe this good news. As a response, the people were astonished. They were amazed. Sa Tagalog, sila'y namangha. They've been hearing from Judea at Galilee yung preaching power ni Jesus. Yung kanyang miraculous healings and casting out of demons. At ngayon, meron na silang first-hand experience na at na-witness po nila ito. At sila ay namangha. Sila'y namangha. There was a similar reaction ng mga tao na tinuruan ni Jesus Christ sa Galilee, sa Capernaum. And ganun din po yung ginamit na term ni Mark. Sila rin ay namangha or na-amazed. Ngunit ang pagkamangha ng mga tiga Nazareth ay hindi positive. Pareho ng mga taga Capernaum. Kung hindi, negative. Basahin po natin yung second part ng chapter 2, verse 2. Many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands?" Sa halip na ikatuwa at ipagmalaki nila ang kanilang kababayan, ay pinutakti nila ito ng mga tanong ng pagdududa. Parang ganito po ang sinasabi nila. Saan naman niya natutunan ng mga aral na yan? Anong klaseng karunungan ang pinagkaloob sa kanya? At papaano siya nakakagawa ng mga bagay na kamangha-mangha o mga kababalaghan? Meron silang ganitong pagdududa dahil dito lumaki si Jesus sa kanilang bayan. In short, kilala talaga nila si Jesus. Ang Nazareth noong time na yun is right around 500 people lang po ang population. Everybody knew everybody. Jesus grew up and lived in the place for roughly around 30 years. Parang sinasabi nila, paano nakapagturo si Jesus o yung mamang ito ng ganyang kalalim na pag-aaral ng salita ng Diyos? Hindi naman aral yan ah. Wala naman tayo naaalala may isang tanyag na rabbi na nag-disciple sa kanya. Wala naman tayo natatandaan o nakita na nag-enroll ito sa isang tanyag na seminary. Wala. Kung mapapansin ninyo sa verse 2, he was not addressed as Jesus, but rather this man. Which means, yung paggamit po neto is yung paggamit ng this man ito is in suspicion or skeptical. So medyo skeptical sila. O may pusong nagdududa. Sa halip na magdiriwang sila, siya ay pinaghihinalaan, pinagdududahan, at nais siyang siraan. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sister with us, here with us? And they took offense at him. Ang pagkabanggit na siya ay isang karpentero lang ay ginagamit in a manner to discredit him. Parang sinasabi nila, isa lang yung pangkaraniwang na laborer katulad namin. Kasama natin yung naglalagari ng kahoy, nagmamartilyo, nagtitibag ng bato, nagmamasilya ng sahig at saka pati kasama natin siya. Tapos ngayon, bigla nagkaroon siya ng pambihirang kaalaman na nangangaral siya sa atin. He was also addressed as Mary's son. Ang Judaism was a patronymic culture. na ang ibig sabihin ay pangalan ng tatay ay nakakabit sa pangalan ng kanyang anak na lalaki. Maaring sa panahon na ito, si Joseph po ay pumanaw na, pero kahit na pumanaw na si Joseph, despite na his death, dapat naka-attach pa din ang pangalan niya kay Jesus. So to address Jesus as Son of Mary was not normal. At maaaring ginagamit ito para insultuhin o maliitin siya. Or, pinapaalala sa kanya kung sino ba talaga siya. Ang sinabi nila si Jesus ay anak ni Mary at hindi anak ni Joseph. Parang yun ang sinasabi nila eh. Anak ni Mary sa pagkadalaga yan. Ibang lalaki ang mismong ang nakasama niya. Isa siyang bastardo. That's what the news has been going around sa Nazareth. They even mention na kilala nila ang kanyang mga kapatid. These are half-brothers at saka sisters si Jesus. After that Jesus Christ ay pinanganak from a virgin birth, si Joseph and Mary, sila'y nagsama at nagkaroon po sila ng mga anak. At ito po yung mga yon. Ang pangalan ay James, Joseph, or minsan ay napalitan sa pangalan na Joseph, kilala. Sa pangalan Joseph, Judas, na kilala rin sa pangalan na Jude, Simon, and his sisters. Malamang dalawang kapatid na babae, hindi binanggit yung pangalan, marahil siguro na may asawa na sila, had taken over yung pangalan ng kanilang asawa. Bagamat yung iba sa kanila later on believed and became influential leaders ng early church. Kagaya po ni James, who became the leader ng Jerusalem Church, Acts chapter 15. Siya rin po ang nagsulat ng libro ng James. At si Jude naman, who also authored a book, na ang title ay pangalan niya, Jude. Pero before they followed Jesus, hindi nila pinaniwalaan si Jesus. Makikita po sa chapter 3 po ito ng Mark. Nung nakarating ang balita na si Jesus ay nangangaral at gumagawa ng mga himala at sinasabi na siya ang Messias sa Capernaum, agad-agad ito pinuntahan ni Mary at ang kanyang mga kapatid. Hindi para i-encourage, kundi para sawatahin. Tingnan po niyo ito sa Mark chapter 3 verse 21. Babasahin ko po ito sa CSB. When his family heard this, they set out to restrain him because they said, he's out of his mind. Nababaliw na to. Awatin niyo yung kapatid niyo. Pauwiin niyo na yan. Tingnan niyo rin po sa verse 31. His mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. Pinapatawag na po siya. Makikita rin po sa Juan 7:5 or 7:5 sa Magandang Balita Biblia. Maging ang mga kapatid ni Jesus ay hindi naniniwala sa kanya. Since hindi ma-reconcile ng mga taong bayan ang pagkakilala nila kay Jesus at ang tinatawag na mga milagro at na pinapangaral niya, ito po ang kanilang ginawa. Ang nalamdaman nila, they took offense of him. Ang ibig sabihin po nito ay to cause to stumble or put off. In short, they found no reason to believe that he was the Messiah. Wala silang nakikitang ebidensya or may ebidensya pero hindi nila pinaniwalaan. Despite sa mga evidences ng kanilang nadinig, sa kanyang preaching, ang mga himala, they were still doubtful sa kanya at sa kanyang claims. I remember nung baby pa yung pamangkin ko, madalas po ako isama ng aking kapatid sa clinic para bigyan po siya ng regular vaccine. Ang vaccine, ang purpose po niyan, strengthens yung immunity system ng isang tao against certain diseases before getting sick. Now, para pala makagawa ng isang vaccine, ay kukuha sila ng isang weakened o pinahinang form ng disease germ at ini-inject po ito sa katawan ng tao. Once ma-detect po ng katawan ang invading germs, it produces antibodies upang sugpuin ang germs na ito. Once the invading germs are destroyed, yung antibodies po ay nananatili sa katawan ng tao. It stays in our body for a long time or even the rest of your life. At yun po ang ina-achieve ng medical science sa panahon natin ngayon is to have a vaccine para sa COVID-19. Now going back sa vaccine, now once a person is exposed to a similar disease, their body will now fight it off without you getting the disease. Dahil nga may immunity ka na. The body becomes familiar with it and becomes immune to it. Friends, listen. It is possible to be too familiar with Jesus that you couldn't see who He really is. That familiarity of Jesus prevents us in having a real relationship with Him. Friends, listen, could it be na lumaki ka attending church services o mga misa sa simbahan, naging part ng Sunday school classes, ng DVBS, nagpa-participate sa ministry, you know all that is about Jesus and still do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus? You know something about Jesus but you don't really know Him relationally. Kung ganun po ang case, di kaya ang dahilan ay dahil sa wala ka talagang relationship kay Jesus? Mga magulang, this is a good reminder in raising up children in the knowledge of God. Isa sa mga nakakapinsalang kapamamaraanan in doing this is insisting a form of Christianity without showing its importance sa buhay mo by practically living it, embodying Christ-likeness. Yung po ang delikado ron. We're insisting Christianity pero hindi nakikita sa ating buhay. Kasi nakikita ng mga bata kung totoo ba talaga si Kristo sa buhay mo o pinapa-attend mo lang siya ng church o Sunday school or Bible study or youth group o pinakikinig mo lang siya every week ng mga video sermons katulad nito upa para lamang patinuin sila, para lamang pasunurin mo sila, para lamang magsipag sila mag-aral, para lamang maging responsable sila sa loob ng bahay o maging responsable sila sa kanilang buhay. Na magkaroon ng ganitong hangarin sa mga anak ay hindi po masama. Teaching them spiritual disciplines ay hindi po mali. Pero if we are only exposing them to Christianity na hindi pinapamuhay at pinapakita sa kanila ang passionate devotion kay Christ, the joy of obeying God's word, that we are pursuing heavenly pleasures instead of worldly passions, that in the midst of trials and sufferings na kinaharap mo ngayon, you are persevering in obedience, then we are producing, listen, we are producing in them an immunity towards God's word, towards Christianity, an immunity towards Jesus. Familiarity with Jesus without evidence of earnest faith is lethal. Kailangan mag-ingat po tayo na we are not giving our children a familiarity with Jesus. Parents, your priorities and passions clearly communicate to your children your devotion to Christ. Or maybe you're not a Christian, or are confused about who Jesus really is, and so you try to investigate about Christianity. You've been reading the Bible, reading theologically sound books, have listened to faithful preachers of God's Word, have seen your friends and family members, and nagbago ang kanilang buhay because they have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ in repentance and belief and faith. You are still looking for evidences. Hanap ka pa rin ang hawak kahit nasa harap mo na ang ebidensya, mga kaibigan. Could it be ang issue dito ay hindi yung lack of evidence of Christ's claims, kung hindi ang tunay na issue dito ay yung puso mo? Yung puso mong matigas at ayaw maniwala? Kasi ito po ang issue ng mga Nazarenes. Tingnan natin kung ano ang naging reaction ni Jesus sa ganitong klaseng puso nila, which is yung number 2. A dishonored prophet. Basahin po natin verses 46. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. And he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus responded to their rejection by quoting a proverb o isang salawikain. Na kung saan sinasabi, a prophet is not appreciated at home. Inaalintulad niya ang kanyang sarili sa mga Old Testament prophets na kung saan yung kanilang mga salita at kanilang pamumuhay were rejected and were dishonored by the people who they're trying to minister to. Yun po ang nararamdaman ni Christ. Sabi niya sa verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. Dalawang beses lang po sa gospel nabanggit that Jesus marveled. Yung unang beses is yung encounter niya sa centurion na kunsan who requested na Jesus would heal yung kanyang servant. And when Jesus was heading towards that place, sabi ng centurion, wag na ho kayo pumunta. Ang gawin niyo na lang po is speak the word and he will be healed. At yun nga ginawa ni Jesus. And he was marveled by this man's faith. At yung pangalawang beses po na ginamit is yung nandito. He marveled in a negative way. Dahil sa lahat ng tinuro niya sa Old Testament about himself at ang mga miraculous signs and supported his claims na namangha siya sa kanilang kawalan ng pananampalataya. As a result, he could do no mighty works there. Maliban na lamang sa mga ilang nagtiwala sa kanya na kung saan napagaling po niya at nagpatuloy po siya mangaral sa mga villages. Now, hindi po nangangahulugan na ang dahilan kung bakit hindi nakapagpagaling o hindi nakapagawa ng mighty works si Jesus sa Nazareth dahil napigilan ang kanyang kapangyarihan ng mga pagdududa o kawalang pananampalataya ng mga tiga doon. Hindi po. It is not an issue of limited power. He has unlimited power. It's more on his willingness to take action. He is not willing to perform any miraculous signs in the presence of people who do not trust him, who do not believe him, who do not put their faith in him. Jesus was unwilling to heal them, to set them free from demonic oppression, to save them because of the hardening of their hearts. Matigas ang kanilang puso. They were not coming to Jesus. In fact, they don't want Jesus. According to James Edwards, sa kanyang commentary sa Gospel according to Mark, he said, what amazes God about humanity is not its sinfulness and propensity for evil, but its hardness of heart and unwillingness to believe in him. Friends, this is but a picture of man's heart. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 verses 14 to 15 quotes Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9 to 10 to describe the condition of man's heart at eto pong sinabi. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Mga kaibigan, maaaring nakikinig ka ngayong oras na ito dyan sa iyong kinalalagyan, and you are like the townspeople of Nazareth who had first-hand witnessed Jesus' mighty works and words that proved his messiahship, but you choose to disbelieve and reject him over and over and over again because of your understanding and expectation of a messiah. Nakita mo ang mabubuting pagbabago na nangyari sa asawa mo. Nakita mo na ang nakawala sa addiction ng iyong mga kaibigan at mahal sa buhay. Ngunit matigas pa din ang puso mo dahil sa iyong paniniwala na ang Mesiya o ang tagapagligtas ng buhay mo ay ang sarili mo. We want to be the savior of our lives. At pilit nating ginagawa ang lahat ng mabubuting gawa, pagbabago, even pinasok natin ang pagiging reliyoso sa inaakala na sapat na ang mga ito. We think that we don't need Jesus and we will not come to Jesus. As a result, our guilt will remain. And we are still under God's judgment. Friends, if we reject Jesus, Jesus will reject us sa harap ng Diyos Ama. Kasi ang demands ng Diyos Ama ay perfect obedience. An obedience na walang bahid ng kasalanan. If we are trying to be the messiahs of our lives, Or we are trying to create our own messiahs to ease the guilt of our sins or to outweigh ang ating mga masasamang nagawa sa mabubuti nating gawa. Let me tell you this, baliwala lahat ng mga yan. God the Father rejects your messiahs. That's why He sent His own Messiah, Jesus, who took the form of a man. He looked like any ordinary man. He talked and walked like any ordinary man. He was tempted like any ordinary man. But unlike any ordinary man, He did not give in to sin, neither did He tempt anyone to sin. He came to heal, to set the captives free. He came to deliver His people from their sins. But He was despised, dishonored, and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, and endured much suffering. He was nailed on the cross, bore our sin and shame, and He died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day was resurrected from the dead. Those who will not harden their hearts, those who will give up trying to be their own messiahs, and will come to Jesus, come to Him and put and place their faith on Him and His finished work on the cross, will be forgiven, will be saved, will have a relationship with God the Father. But those who reject Him, those who dishonor Him, will remain guilty and God's wrath remains on them. Friends, I urge you, repent from your sins and trust Jesus and what He has done on that cross for the forgiveness of sins. Sabi nga sa Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Maaaring nandito ka ngayon at Kristiyano ka na. You know Jesus and you are growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Praise Jesus. But have you been teaching others about Jesus? Before the lockdown, I have met mga regular attendees po natin. Okay, kahit momentarily nakapospon ang ating public gathering, itong mga tao na to were faithfully watching and participating sa ating mga online teachings. Some of them have joined your Bible study groups and even some are in the membership process right now. Praise God. But ang tanong ko po sa inyo, have you considered reading the Bible with them? Have you considered sharing to them the biblical Jesus? Crossroads, mayroon tayong study material ng tinatawag po natin na Christianity Explained, a Bible study course that goes through the book of Mark. Now, if the Lord is leading you to engage and to read the Bible or study the book of Mark with these people, I encourage you to avail of this material. Kung interesado po kayo and approach us, mga elders, email us, call us, and we will provide you this materials and we will even guide you on how to use this materials. Kasi po sa isang tao na tunay na niligtas at binago ni Kristo, will go out and share to others Jesus' words and works. At yun po ang ginawa ng mga disciples. So point number 3. Disciples practicum. Second part of verse 6. And he went about among the villages teaching. Now despite Jesus' rejection sa Nazareth, nagpatuloy pa rin po siya mag-share sa mga karapit na villages doon. Napaka-importante na makita ng mga disciples doon na kahit na-reject si Jesus, nagpapatuloy pa rin siya. Napaka-importante na makita po natin yan bilang mga manggagawa, mga Kristiyano. Now regardless that there are discouragements in the gospel ministry, we must press on. As we are sent out to the gospel ministry. I remember when I was in college, in order for me to graduate, ang aking four-year course, I need to go through a 4 to 8 week, 4 to 8 month na tinatawag na practicum. So ano yung sabi ng practicum? Ang practicum ay ang popular na word na madalas gamitin nung college days ko po. It means na isasalang na kami sa actual na trabaho related sa studies namin for the past 4 years. Of course, we go into companies and we get to assist and observe. It's like a OJT or on-the-job training na kung saan wala kaming bayad. So, ang mga disciples, after learning from Jesus, are now sent out to a sort of practicum or an OJT or a training trial. Kita din natin ang heart ni Jesus in training these men in order for them to carry out the gospel work with Him. So, His heart is to train and to send out these men sa gospel ministry. Now, bago tayo magbigay ng further application sa mga susunod na passages, gusto ko iklaro na ang pagkomisyon ni Jesus sa mga disciples na ito ay exclusively para sa 12 disciples lamang. Okay? A gospel ministry exclusively para sa mga Jews lamang. And only for a specific time. Later on, Jesus will send another group of 72 disciples according sa Luke chapter 10. And then final commission sa Matthew 28. Which is for all disciples of Jesus of all generations and to all nations. So hindi po, so all of that just say, hindi po lahat na ating maaaral dito sa part na to ay maia-apply natin sa current gospel ministry na ginagalawan po natin ngayon. But there are principles na pwede nating aralin. Tignan po ninyo yung verse 7. And He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2. Na ito muna tayo dyan. Para ma-extend ang gospel ministry sa Galilee, Jesus grouped His disciples to teams of twos. Tigalawa bawat isang team. This is for both practical at saka legal reasons. Now, bakit practical reasons? Practical kasi it provides company, accountability, counsel, they complement yung kanilang mga giftings, at mas marami silang magagawa in less time at saka effort kesa sa nag-iisa lang. Legal, kasi sa Jewish world, the testimony or evidences of 2 or 3 carries more weight compared po sa isang tao. And according po yan sa Deuteronomy chapter 19. Now friends, let me remind us that God doesn't just save us individually into redeemed individuality, but saves us into a family. Niligtas ka ng Panginoon to a family. Into a family. Since we are one body, we are to help one another, encourage one another, and build each other up. Ang ibig sabihin po neto, pagdating sa gawain ng Panginoon, ay wag po natin akuin lahat. Dapat po tayong magtulungan in order to accomplish more and encourage one another for God's glory. I remember in one of our recent Bible study leaders training, nagbigay po sa akin ng ating mga kapatiran na leaders a feedback patungkol sa Bible study materials. They said na it would be helpful para sa ating church kung maglalagay ako ng translation sa Tagalog sa bawat questions because we go through inductive studies. We study yung passage before it is preached. So I write out the study and most of the time I write it in English. So, nag-comment ang ating mga kapatiran na mas makakatulong ito kung isusulat ito ng Tagalog or in Taglish. And it was a good feedback and in order for us to serve the church well, this needs to happen. However, bagamat nag-agree po ako, I also confessed na since I write the materials in English, nahihirapan ako gumawa ng translation in Tagalog or Taglish due to time and quite honestly, talent. It was a humbling experience para po sa akin exposing my limitations. But then again, I was reminded by the Lord that He has given Crossroads men who has the time and capability na gawin ang mga ito. And I don't need to carry ito sa sarili ko. So I asked help and one of them replied and they have done a great job. And he have done a better job kesa sa ginawa ko. Praise God. Mga kaibigan, sa ministry, saan mo kailangan ng tulong ngayon? Do you think you are carrying the burden by yourself, thinking na ikaw lang ang makakagawa nito? O baka naman nahihiya ka makaabala ng ibang tao? O di kaya we are too proud to ask for help? Let me remind us that we are not alone. The Lord has given us one another to encourage, to edify, to correct and rebuke one another, to complement each other's gifts for the purpose of edifying one another and glorifying God the Father. So friends, if you are in need of help in sharing the gospel, in discipling someone, go through or just even go through the difficulties of parenting, the challenges in marriage, or even the loneliness of being single, or yung hardships ng pagiging Kristiyano sa bansa na ito, huwag po tayong mahiya humingi ng tulong sa ating mga kapatiran dito sa Crossroads. Or if ikaw nakikinig na you are from a different church, huwag po kayong mahiya lumapit sa mga pastors nyo para humingi ng tulong. Huwag tayong mahiya magpresenta ng tulong o huwag din tayong maging prideful tumanggap ng tulong. Jesus gave you a covenant community called the local church to care for one another. Do not waste this means of grace na pinagkaloob sa atin ng Panginoon. Let's look at verses 7, tapos jump to verses 12 hanggang 13. And gave them authority over the unclean spirits, verse 12. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Jesus commissioned them and gave them authority. In short, He is sending them as ambassadors to represent Him. Okay? This means Jesus gave them authority, the same authority, okay, that He has shown them over demons and diseases. The same diseases, pati na rin po sa nature. Jesus has given them that great of authority. Friends, as followers of Christ Jesus, He gave us the Great Commission. Buong mundo ang sakop nito, hindi lang geographically dun lang sa Judea at Samaria. It is a better commission kasi hindi siya limited sa Jews lang. Ibang lahi po ang kasama. Itong commission na ito will last till Jesus comes. And we see that in Matthew chapter 28, which is the Great Commission. Friends, let us be reminded na dinala tayo ng Panginoon sa UAE dito sa Dubai na kung saan punong-puno ng expats na nagmumula sa 200 different nationalities upang abutin sila with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must proclaim His name to the nations, sa mga Iranians and Indians, Americans and Africans, Singaporeans and South Africans, Germans and Ghanaians, Pakistanis and Puerto Ricans, Belarusians and Bangladeshis, even yes, sa mga Filipinos. At pagdating sa Filipinos, maraming mga iba't ibang region yan. Sa mga Cavitenos and Cebuanos, Ilocanos and Ilonggos, Batanggenos and Bulaquenos, Calapenos and Kapampangans, Manilenos and Mindanaoans. We are all commissioned and authorized by Jesus to take the gospel to all peoples. We do not have any reason para hindi gawin po yun. We have given the authority, the power to do these things. As Jesus sends the 12, it's interesting, He instructed them to travel light. Balik po tayo sa verses 8 hanggang 10. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and put no two tunics. And He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. In sending out the 12, nagbigay ng specific instructions si Jesus kung ano lang ang kanilang dadalhin as they go to towns and preach the gospel to the people. They are to wear a couple of sandals, maaaring isang set ng damit, isang tungkod. Ang principle po dito is this, huwag magdala ng extra. Hindi sila magdadala ng pera o pagkain kasi po they will be relying sa mga provisions sa mga tao na kung saan siya sharan nila ng gospel. So they go from town to town, house to house. Kung willing ang family ng tahanan ang makinig ng gospel, then they will preach, they will heal, and they will cast out demons if necessary under the authority of Jesus. At kung anong kanilang pangangailangan, like food and shelter and clothing, ang pamilya na po ang bahala magpo-provide sa kanila as the Lord leads them, and they are not even allowed to ask. Meron pong importanteng principle na dapat nating tandaan bilang manggagawa ng Diyos. And here, this is it. Ito po yun. The Lord is the sole provider ng ating pangangailangan. The Lord is the sole provider ng lahat ng ating pangangailangan. So, I encourage you, friends, be faithful kung saan po tayo nilagay ng Panginoon. Be faithful sa task na pinagkatiwala sa atin. The Lord provides for His servants, and the regular means that He does that is through His people, the local church. Crossroads, I am reminded, as I was reading and meditating this, I was reminded by your generosity and hospitality. The Lord has provided our church in order to continue ministering in this land. Kaya ngayong oras na ito na ako'y nagpapasalamat po ako sa inyong lahat, sa kabutihan po ninyo at katapatan ninyo sa Panginoon. Thank you for your generous giving despite the financial challenge na kinaharap po natin. I urge you to keep trusting God. Keep continue doing giving to gospel causes. I urge you to keep trusting the Lord sa area na ito as you give to the advancement of the gospel here sa UAE, sa Pilipinas, and beyond. And the promise is He will provide for your needs. Sabi sa Matthew 6:33 sa CSB, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." Alam ni Jesus na magiging hospitable and generous ang mga pupuntahan nilang ibang mga bahay because He knows that He has many people in these towns. Ngunit, alam din niya na mayroon din magiging marahas sa kanila at ire-reject ang gospel. Tingnan niyo verse 11. "And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." If they were rejected sa tahanan, sa village or synagogue, the disciples were instructed to shake the dust sa kanilang paa. Now, ano po ibig sabihin nito? Ito po ay simbolo that they are disassociating themselves sa kanila. It is an action that symbolized na itong bahay, lugar, o sinagoge na ito was unclean and subject to divine judgment because they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. According po kay Walvoord at saka kay Zuck sa kanilang commentary, sabi nila, it warned them that the disciples' responsibility to them had been fulfilled and those who reject the message would have to answer to God for themselves. Mga kaibigan, this is a reminder again para sa atin. As we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, there will be people who will receive Christ and there will be people who will reject Him. I know there are people na hanggang ngayon sa buhay mo na hindi ka halos makatulog dahil you know na wala pa silang relasyon sa Panginoon. Ilang beses mo sinaran, ilang beses po nagkaroon ng pagkakataon na marinig ng mga tao ito yung Ebanghelyo ni Kristo, pero they still harden their hearts and choose not to believe. And because of that, your heart is in deep sorrow palagi. This could be your husband, this could be your wife, your children, kapatid mo, magulang mo, lolo-lola mo, significant loved one mo, someone who is close to you. Friends, I encourage you to continue praying for them. Continue sharing the gospel to them. Continue warning them. That's your job. That's my job. It's not your job to transform their hearts of stone to a heart of flesh. It's not your job to save them, to cleanse them from their sins. That's God's job. According kay Bill, the late Bill Bright, he defined kung ano ang ibig sabihin ng successful na pag-share ng gospel. And this is what he said. "Success in witnessing is simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God." nung high school po ako, isa ako sa mga estudyante po na nahihirapan ng aming mga teachers. Yung grupo po namin yon. Marami yung teachers na nauubusan ng pasensya sa amin. Maraming teachers na kung saan na umalis sa class naman o nagpalipat. Naubusan sila ng pasensya, grasya sa amin. All of them except Mr. Rawit. Yung barkada namin always makes fun of him. Pag nakatalikod, binabato po namin. Hindi po namin siya ino-honor. Hindi namin siya ginagalang. We always make fun of him. We cut his class. We sleep on his class. And we are very loud and rowdy. Until one day, may inabot siyang piece of paper sa akin. And nakalagay po sa paper na yun, please meet me after the class. So I got nervous because I know I was in trouble. Nung nag-usap po kami, he definitely addressed all of the folly na ginagawa ko po, pero hindi siya galit, hindi pasigaw. He was patient, but he was firm. And he shared the gospel to me. Shared the gospel to me. And he told me he is praying for my soul. And after po ng pag-uusap na yon, after a few days, nagtuloy pa rin po kami sa aming mga kamalian. Hindi pa rin namin siya ginalang. We still cut his class. We still throw things at his back. And he is still patient and gently rebukes us. Dahil napansin namin na lately hindi na siya nakakapasok because sabi ng ibang teachers at mataas ang kanyang BP and even blames us because of that. And nung natapos ang school year, I was dismissed sa school na yan. Hindi na ako pinabalik. Or tinanggal po ako sa school and because of my rowdiness. And after a year, I came to a saving faith and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Someone shared the gospel to me and I believed. And all of the things na ginawa ko sa kanya, I remembered and I wept. Because then I now understand. I never saw or heard from him again. Mr. Rawit, if you are watching this for some strange reason, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for exemplifying Christ's likeness sa akin. Thank you for showing gospel patience. Thank you for not giving up on prayer. And I praise Jesus that one day I can thank you personally and both we can praise God sa life po na ginawa niya sa ating dalawa. Friends, continue proclaiming the good news of Jesus kahit wala kayong makitang magandang resulta. Because you have no idea kung anong ginagawa ng Panginoon sa buhay ng tao niyan. You have no idea ang ginagawa ng Panginoon sa bata na maingay at makulit sa inyong Friday school. O sa anak mo na hanggang ngayon ay nagre-rebelde. O sa asawa mo na akala mo hindi ka pinakikinggan tuwing nangangaral ka ng salita ng Diyos. You have no idea. Keep praying. Keep pursuing. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep praying that one day that he or she will stop rejecting Christ and finally receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Because followers of Jesus are called to proclaim the gospel to everyone and to entrust the results to God. Let's pray. Salamat Panginoon sa kaligtasan na pinagkaloob niyo po sa amin. We know na we are not able to save ourselves. At ganun pa man wala kaming kapangyarihan na magligtas ng mga mahal namin sa buhay. Salvation is by your grace. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for Jesus. I pray for our brothers and sisters who are crying every night, almost every night, who has been persecuted, humiliated, rejected because of their love for them and love for the gospel. I pray that you would cause them, us, to persevere. I pray that you would call our loved ones to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would call them to yourself in a saving way. As for us, help us to be faithful sa very job that you have entrusted us, and that is to go and make disciples of all nations. And we trust their souls sa kamay ninyo, Panginoon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.